Good morning. Like Eric said, this is my first time like standing in front of a big group of people and talking about the Lord. And you're probably going to be able to tell that I'm really nervous about it. I'm also hungry. I didn't eat breakfast. So if this is really short, just like cut me some slack, okay? We might get out of here early. We'll beat everybody to the restaurants and stuff. I don't know. The scripture that we're going to be in today is 1 Samuel 17. Just the general vicinity of it. Specifically, the story of David and Goliath, but I am going to pull from some other parts of that. But I want to start by painting you guys a picture of what David's seeing as he comes to the Israelite camp. So David's on this mountain, right? And he comes to this mountain. There's thousands and thousands of Israelite soldiers. There's a king there, and he walks up there, his brothers are there, and David's looking down into a valley. And as he looks down, he sees this giant, 12-foot, 13-foot guy. I'm sure he's 300-400 pounds, just a big dude. He's looking down in this valley, and he sees this giant, and for some reason, David says, I don't know why, but I know I need to run into that valley, and I need to walk into that battle. And I was reading, and I was like, who in their right mind would run towards a 12-foot man as a 13-year-old boy and say, yeah, that's my calling. I need to run into that battle. Not me. And I began to question why David would do that. And I came to the conclusion that it's because he knew that he was equipped with everything that he needed. From his youth, David was a shepherd. He carried a slingshot, and that's what he used to defeat Goliath. God gives us everything that we need for every battle that we are going to face. David was offered swords and shields and armor from the other men and even the king, and he turned them all down and used only what God had given him. I've experienced this love and faithfulness of God in so many different parts of my life. The first one was my sophomore year of high school, really when I met Eric. And Eric came to me and he said, it was probably about March. He said, Rex, we're going to have a summer camp at the church this year. He said, you're going to work it. I said, no, I'm not. I hate kids. Really? He's like, yes, you are, and you're going to like it. I was like, absolutely not. That's never going to happen. Eric's Eric. I mean, for those of you that don't know him, he's a very persistent person. So he got me to work the camp. And about a month in, I realized this is kind of what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I'm an education major now at Clemson University, and I'll be doing that for, I don't know, however long the Lord calls me to do that for. Another time that I experienced that, it was a very similar circumstance. Eric approached me and he said, Rex, you're going to give a sermon one day. I said, Eric, no, I'm not. I said, I hate public speaking. He said, yes, you are, and you're going to like it too. I said, Eric, no, I'm not. You're crazy. And I'm up here today. I don't really know why I'm up here today, but I am. And I've experienced things in worship just now, or even just getting up here, that have proved God's faithfulness. And I didn't know that I was equipped to walk into the battles that he was sending me in to, but I walked into them and I was. Our faith and our confidence in God can be used to shine light to others. Like, I've had the opportunity to shine light to children. I'm sure we all have opportunities to shine light to coworkers and to friends and family. David, his confidence in God, he gave himself up and allowed God to use him. And as he ran in that battle and defeated the giant that was before him, thousands of other Israelites were able to run with faith into the valley behind him. And I guess my point in saying that is you never know what your act of obedience and and what your act of faith can do for somebody else's spiritual journey. When we allow God to use us, and when we trust what he's given us, and we look at his faithfulness, it can benefit the people around us. God can take a personal win from us, and something that we can't see how it could affect anybody else, and he can use it for the greater glory of his people when we set aside our pride. David, from the beginning of his life, was called to be a servant. At first, it was to his father and his brothers, and even the animals, because he was a shepherd. He protected and he served despite lions, bears, wolves, and storms, despite all the dangers that a shepherd faces, and no matter what's going on around us, we're called to be servants. David also was a servant to the king of Israel and the other soldiers that he was around when he was on that mountain. He went down and he went into battle alone and served all those people that were above him. He also served, later on in his life, he served Saul's son, who betrayed his own father to protect his friend. And I don't think that David's mindset for any of these relationships was, what can these people do for me? Because he approached everybody the same way, and he had the same confidence no matter what. And it didn't matter the stature of the people that were around him, David was always serving. Jesus perfectly personifies servitude in his life on earth. Whether he was healing or teaching or ultimately sacrificing his life on the cross, every act that Jesus did was an act of service towards other people. The example that we should follow is to have a servant's heart and a servant's mindset everywhere we go. I question myself on this a lot of times. How often do I jump at the chance to serve somebody? Or how often do I put others above myself and come out of my comfort zone so that Jesus can shine through me? And admittedly, it's less than I would like to say. And it's less than I would like to admit to God, too. But I think that there's something powerful about service. You can tell somebody something, or you can do something for somebody. And doing something for somebody is going to make a much more lasting impact. Continuing with the consequences of David's faithful obedience, there's no lineage or kingship or prophecy for Jesus to fulfill without David becoming king, because Jesus was going to come from the line of David. So had David not run into the battle and faced Goliath, who knows what would have happened? We see a lineage of kingship born on the day that David killed Goliath. His faith and obedience was used by God in the overarching will in unimaginable ways. Had David run from this battle or hesitated in a moment of doubt, he might not have become the king that he was meant to be, and the lineage of Jesus wouldn't have led back to King David of Bethlehem. Our battles aren't necessarily fun, and they're not a joyful thing to endure, but they're necessary to form us, to form the people around us, and to continue the will of God. This was one of David's first steps in becoming a righteous leader for Israel. So imagine how God can use our giants and our battles to shape us into righteous parents, spouses, brothers, sisters, employees. I want to go back to the picture that I painted in the beginning. David is on the mountain. He's looking down in the valley. And on the other side of the valley, there's another mountain. And when I read that, I wrote this weeks ago, but I was on a spiritual high, and I could see something off in the distance that I knew I was going to be uncomfortable facing. Now, I guess that was my spiritual low. I was looking down into the valley. But after David ran from his high into his low and defeated his low with the power of God, he was led back to another high. And I say that to bring the point to you that it doesn't matter if you have to leave and go be uncomfortable to run into a valley, to run into a battle. God will always lead you back onto another mountain. He will always deliver you through that. David had three options on the top of the hill He could turn around and he could go back to a shepherd's life. He could sit and wait for somebody else to act, or he could run into battle. And if I'm being honest, I would have took the first two options so fast. Like, let me go back and live my shepherd's life. Like, if somebody would come up to me tomorrow or yesterday and said, hey, you can just go back, like, go back to campus, do you, we got somebody else to fill out. I would have been like, okay, that's fine with me. I don't want to get up there anyways. But David didn't do that. David chose the third option. He chose to run into battle. And he didn't let somebody else take on his battle because he knew it was his own. By taking that leap of faith, he proved that God's judgment and God's faithfulness is true to us. I guess my entire point for writing this and getting up here and telling you all this morning is to make you question something. And I think a lot of sermons and a lot of people will make you question your why of why you're acting. But I want to do the opposite. I want to question you and ask why not. Why not take a step into what God has called you into? Or why not step into the valley and face your giant because the God of the universe is beside you? Let your confidence in God lead you into action for the glory of his kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the opportunity that I had up here today. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts and that you would help us remember that you are our why, so we have no reason to not act. We can have a confidence and a trust in you that's proven through Scripture and proven in our life. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us remember that this week as we step into our individual battles. Lord, help us remember that you will deliver us from the low back to another mountain. Help us remember how our faith in you can affect the people around us and how you can work through the things that we do to shine light to other people, to bring them closer to you. Jesus, I ask that you would be with this congregation, be with the people that this message will go to. And I ask that you would bless our week and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
As we sing our next song, which is all about going out in that faith, it's called